welcome to BlazePod. It's Wednesday, the 8th of May. My name is Ben, and on the line is Andrew. How are you, mate?
All right, bit croaky. We think it's hay fever, don't we, Ben? Because you're very similar, aren't you? So people have a go at us for being ill all the time, but we think this might be the pollen.
It might be. We're on a good run of health. That was justified. Yeah. The comments that people said that we were the illest people in Sheffield. But I feel like I've gone a good few months without any particular illness now. So.
I'm all right. Didn't get much sleep, so I can't breathe through my nose. If I'm, you know, ropey, that's why. But, yeah. You know, at least we're not Ryan Brewster. You know, we turn up. Imagine we're on the bench. I'll take that back. You're on the bench, weren't you, on Saturday?
He was on the bench, yeah. What was I going to say? We were going to do a pod. We did intend to do a podcast last week, but we couldn't fit it in because... You've been away, you come back to work and life and stuff, and I had loads of work on as well. So apologies for missing that one. But at the same time, neither of us saw the Man United game or the Newcastle game, which was a 4-2 defeat and a 5-1 defeat. We did both see the Forest game, unfortunately, which is a 3-1 defeat. So that makes it 5 defeats in a row, I think. Many, many goals shipped in that time. How did you enjoy your holiday? You went to Napoli v Roma, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot better than probably the best game I've been to this season, actually. Yeah, really, really enjoyed the trip. I'd advise anyone to go if you like a fast-paced holiday with a lot of things to see rather than a relaxing one, as I'll say. It's a very crazy place, Naples. But yeah, really, really enjoyed it. And United got relegated while we were there. We were having a pizza, obviously, and we went 1-0 up. And I was like, bloody hell, we're winning 1-0. Then I thought, we do this every week. And then by the time... we'd finished this pizza and got up like one street. I think we were 4-1 down. Like, right, that's more like it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a slightly depressing state of affairs because we took the lead in our last three games and lost them all by 2-6-8 goal margin combined, conceding 10 in the process. The Man U and the Newcastle games, and also the Forest one, to be honest, like I'm not celebrating our goals because
I get this. Yeah.
You know, Man U, I didn't realise we'd gone back ahead. I knew it was 1-1, and my wife was like, "Oh, United are winning again." I'm like, well, that's not going to last very long, is it? And you know,
Same as when we talk about the Newcastle game, we're 1-0 up, and I'm like, "Come on, 1-0 up." And then I said, "Well, we're obviously going to." It wasn't like a. You know, it wasn't like a joke, though, we're bound to concede. It's like, no, we will need to score at least probably 4 in this match to win, which by all accounts we could have done at Newcastle. And Forest, in fairness, we could have done it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've not really planned this podcast particularly well, as you can probably tell, so we're going to jump around a little bit. But, yeah, the Forest one, like when Diaz stuck that penalty away, you know, it was a bit of a... just a little fist pump from me, because I was like, well, there we go. There's one third of the goals we need to... possibly get a point out of this game. Yeah. And that was it. We only conceded 3 in that one, fortunately, but somehow failed to score more than one, which I think with that Forest game, it was really similar to the Burnley game, I thought, in terms of I thought for the majority of it, like until the game got out of hand, we were the better team. I know that sounds like a stating the obvious, but you know, while the game was still even, I thought we were significantly the better team in both games, and yet we lost 4-1 to Burnley, we've lost 3-1 to Forest. We know we're going to concede at least 3 goals a game, it feels like, so we have to take all our chances.
Even the Chelsea game was similar. We only conceded 2 in that, but again, better team, and we needed a last-minute goal to get a point in a game that we should have won. That's 3 games, I think that's 3 home games in a row. And we should have had 9 points. We really, and it sounds ridiculous, this, because we've conceded, how many goals? 8 goals in those 3 games. But if we take our chances in those games, we win them all 5-3. It's absolutely ludicrous how many goals we're conceding.
Yeah, that obviously, the Forest third goal takes us up to 100 goals conceded on the season with 2 games to spare. So we might not get to 110, as I sort of jokingly posited, not even jokingly really, half jokingly posited a few weeks ago, but
might do it next week though, mate.
Yeah, you never know. I certainly, we're probably all going to be closer to 110 than 100, I would say, by the end of these next 2 games. I sat watching the Forest game thinking, like, a normal Premier League team wins this so comfortably, because Forest, like Burnley, were not good at all, and I think you said this to me before. Forest are basically, Forest are only staying up because we exist, essentially.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, they're a poor team for the Premier League, and Burnley are the same, and it sounds like sour grapes. It's not, because we're worse. It's not a, you know, oh, they're rubbish, you know, blah, blah, blah. But these are bad Premier League teams that we're playing. The teams who are not going to get 30 points. I mean, I don't know, Forest with the deductions. I don't know what they're going to end up with. But you know what I mean. In any other season, they comfortably go down. And even the Forest fans on The View, from, I imagine most people haven't read it, which I understand completely. They were saying, we should have been 4-0 down. You know, yeah. We weren't very good in this game against this absolutely atrocious team. So I think even the most, you know, ardent Forest fan would admit that, certainly based on this display and based on the other results this season, this is a team that should be going down, but we exist. So, yeah. So that's why Burnley aren't bottom, and that's why Forest aren't going down.
Yeah, not only do we exist to occupy one of the relegation places, but both of those teams have obviously had 6 points off us as well this season.
Yeah.
And yeah, plenty of goals in Burnley's case as well for the goal difference. So yeah, they would be one of the worst teams in the league, I think. And yeah, we made both of those teams look dreadful for large periods of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have enjoyed United having an attack. Like, I guess, you know, like, as in having a functional attack at times in the last.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, in the last few months, really, it's been sporadic. It's not been every single game, but in some of the home games, we've had a little bit of punch to us in the last 5 or 6 months. But it is just that knowledge of, like, we can't stop conceding. Like, it's just... And they're not... I don't know, teams aren't exactly getting... Well, sometimes they're getting amazing chances. But you look at the two Hudson-Odoi goals on Saturday, it's the same goal. Like,
he's
a right-footed winger playing on the left. You know what he's going to do. He gave us two warnings before the decisive second goal, if you like. He obviously scored the equaliser, and he hit the post in the second half, and it was, I think it was still 1-1 at that point.
1-1, yeah, 1-1 at that stage, yeah.
Yeah, and we just keep ushering him inside onto his stronger foot. Bogle, obviously, very culpable for that, and then Anel and Trusty both make the same mistake for the goal he eventually does score. So... Yeah, we're just stupid defensively, I think.
Do you think, by the way, I'm just looking at the league now to get the points on. I know you can't really do this, but obviously take the 6 points off Forest against us. And just, yeah, I don't know, let's say, I don't know what they've got against Luton or whatever, but they'd have been on 23 points this season, which is what we finished on.
Yeah.
In the season that we finished rock bottom in the COVID season, which we talk about as like the worst season ever up until this one. And again, it's not just having to go at Forest. This is such... It's a massive missed opportunity to stay up because of everything that's happened with the points deductions and stuff. But I do think those four at the bottom in particular, even Luton get a lot of praise. They've won 6 out of 36. It's a terrible bottom of the Premier League this year. And I suppose that it's not really a worry because we'll have a completely different team. But do these four at the bottom get in the top six of this championship? Probably top six. I don't think they get in the top four, though. I don't think they're as good as Leeds and Southampton. And we're sat here on 100 goals conceded with a minus 65 goal difference.
How many points have Luton got? Have you got that in front of you?
Luton's got 26.
26. So last season, Leeds finished 19th with 31 points.
This is what I mean. It's a really poor... And in any other season, Forest would have probably been gone by now.
Yeah, yeah. So this was annoying because I thought... This was like our last chance to sort of... rub another team's nose in it. I think we had that as like one of the things we wanted to see, didn't it? Like wreck another team's season.
Yeah,
there might still be something riding for Spurs on that last game, but I'm not sure with the way they're sort of dropping points and the way Villa keep winning. And we had the opportunity to really flatten this team. I mean, that first half, I think Sells, the Forest keeper, has been really poor this season, but he had a brilliant game, as the Burnley keeper did a few weeks before. We fluffed some chances as well. I think, you know, Diaz and Archer particularly, like, good build-up play, but then just took far too long to get a shot away. Second half, I thought he made a mega save from Diaz. You know, those shots where it goes to the defender's leg, and it's like, it's always a goal. It's like, I used to joke about this, it's a rule of football. If you get your shot through a defender's legs, it's automatically a goal, but he somehow got down and saved it. He saved a great shot from Hamer in the first half. Hamer had that one in the second half, where I think it was I think just after they'd gone 2-1 up, where he put it just wide of the far post. Archer had a close range one. I thought, as an attack, I'm baffled we only scored one goal in this game.
Same as the Burnley game, though. Same as the Burnley game, where we only scored one in that. Same as you. It's just like, this is why I will stick up for Wilder. And look, I've not been, you know, the results, you know, tell a story that we've not improved, really, under Wilder. But I will give him credit in that I don't know what more he can do in these first half, up to like the 60 minutes or whatever, because we're actually not playing too badly.
Yeah. Organise the defence is the thing.
But even that, it's a lot of individual errors. I mean, it annoys me how one single pass goes straight through. Mm. And, you know, we have to work so hard to get a chance and get a goal and keep us pulling. And they just seem to, you know, oh, the throw, it's a goal.
Yeah. Well, Wood hit one wide in the first. Mm-hmm. It's a side netting where, like, we just didn't pick him up at all. And I don't think we stopped the cross either from Gibbs White. Just sort of let him jog forward and chip it to the back post.
Yeah.
The second goal, the Yates goal, is it just me? Does he always score against his Yates? He's got quite a late equaliser here, right?
That header in the last minute in the 1-1 when they beat us in the playoffs, obviously, later on. But this is awful. I mean, I thought it was got to be a foul because there was that much space and obviously our players are all going around the referee. And it wasn't a foul.
No.
Looking back. But it's just absolutely... I mean, to have that much space... Oh,
it's like three players have like a free touch in the box, yeah, don't they?
He's got a half volley where he like lets it bounce to where he wants it to get, like in a free shot at goal. It's absolutely ludicrous, like how he got that much space. But that's just how we defend, and you know, individually the defenders were poor, but as a unit, they're an absolute disgrace. I genuinely do. It's easy to say this. I think you could put the majority of Championship defences into this Premier League and they'll not concede as many as we have this season, or certainly not how ludicrous these goals are going in.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right. I mean, just look at teams in the FA Cup. I mean,
yeah,
you know, lower league teams generally have a bit of a organisation and structure to them, which we really have not had at any point this season. And it was such a nothing free kick as well, wasn't it? In terms of like, you know, it was about 50 yards out wide on the left. How have we conceded from that? That they actually scored that third goal much earlier than I thought in, you know, remembering it. 65 minutes we went 3-1 down.
That was the end of the game. Every week this happens, we'll go, if we go more than one goal down, it's game over because there's no fight left in the team. The confidence has gone and people do down tools. And if we go two goals behind, I mean, I stayed, but I think I left whatever time, like 90 minutes or whatever it was. But I don't blame people for leaving when we're two goals down because we're not going to get back into it. I don't think we got even close to getting back into it.
No, and I wanted to mention that specifically. We brought on Souza for Archer after 74 minutes. That's like 9 minutes later. And I wonder if that was just like Wilder thinking, let's not lose this 5-1. Because obviously that's you're taking off a striker for an incredibly limited midfielder who's obviously not very popular here at the moment, with good reason. Just basically saying, like, I don't want to lose this game 4-5-1 like we lose almost every game. So, I don't know.
That's bad against a team as bad as Forest. I mean,
who were carving open as well, like,
yeah,
time after
absolutely.
Time.
And that is what's so... Because, as I can say, I don't think this Forest team's much or any better than the top six in this year's Championship. So it's not as if we're going, well, you know, they've got class players. They have got better players than us. They are a better team than us, but they're not top end. Mm. You know, this is a team that, like I said, in every other season gets relegated and the carving is open. Same as Burnley did after their third goal. Yeah. Carving is open time and time again because our players just seem to just like, oh, well, you know, that's it. We've lost. I mean, even Wilder said after, like, you know, a lot of players have down tools and he's disappointed about it. Stop playing them.
Yeah, but I know I ain't got time for this. Like, it's your job, you know. It goes on about... I don't really watch many of these press conferences, but, you know, I see the like clips and stuff and they're talking about, like, you know, the lack of leaders and stuff. Well, that's kind of your job, isn't it? To be the leader, you know, just pick a team that you think has some of those leaders. I refuse to believe that an entire squad of like 25 people or whatever hasn't got a few loud mouths, I suppose, in it. You've got Robinson out there. Arblaster has worn the captain's armband. Brereton Diaz seems fairly, fairly vocal, fairly feisty. I don't know. It just It annoys me that. It feels like washing your hands of responsibility a bit.
Just, yeah. You know, I'm interested to see after the Tottenham game, because I think he's been quite protective. Not by Wilder standards, quite protective. We've seen miles better teams than this get an absolute hammering from Wilder after, after poor displays and stuff. I'm really interested to see if he's more open after the Tottenham game. So I do feel like he's keeping a lot in. And I do wonder if he'll start picking out maybe certain players who's let him down.
Yeah. Just a couple of things from the lineup, I suppose. Brooks started, and so that was a... He didn't play in the last couple of games, did he, Brooks?
I think he played against Newcastle, didn't he?
Okay. But yeah, I just wanted to sort of mention him as like...
He played against Man U as well, actually, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. As you can see, I did not pay too much attention to those games.
Yeah.
I thought he was really... I just want to mention this, as I find it kind of interesting that I thought he played... I didn't think he was particularly good or particularly bad, Brooks, but I feel like he was playing in quite a safe way with the ball, I just want to mention, because that's not who he is at all when he plays for the under-21s. He's very much a get it and run with it, you know, and try and carry it 60 yards and beat three players. And I don't know, I don't think he's like going to be the answer for us next season. Probably isn't. I just think he's too early in his development. Like, I'm not expecting him to be...
It'd be great. Yeah, get him alone. It would be perfect. But yeah.
But I just want to mention it. I appreciate, because I'm assuming that's by direction. Like, we've told him, just, you know, we've got Arblaster, we've got Hamer in this midfield. Basically, just don't give it away and try and, you know, try and move the ball on. And if that's the case and he's able to adapt his game, you know, to those specific circumstances, then I think that's something worth recognising, because there's a lot of dumbasses in this team this season. And for him to, you know, it's not exactly something to get excited about that he's, you know, taking on the remit of like, just don't give the ball away. But the fact the fact he's able to do that and play like, you know, in a team role, in, you know, to a specific tactic, I think bodes well for someone who is right at the start of his career. So I just want to mention it. It's like, it feels like quite a hipster point to make in this game of like, probably third best of the three midfielder just played in a conservative way. But I thought, I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Devil's advocate to that is, it was he just a lack of confidence again? Mm-hmm. You know, is that why he kept going? Because obviously we saw in those first couple of games, he was running with the ball and he were trying things. And he was doing step overs and all sorts. If you remember like the Brentford game and... Yeah. Villa and stuff like that away. I don't know. Maybe it was a while to say, just don't give it away. Or maybe it's just another player who's had the confidence sucked out of him. And as much as I'm saying, don't play these players with down tubbles, there is always that risk that you put young players in and they just completely fold.
Yeah.
And it sets them back. You know, I see people like now saying, get Sam Curtis in or get whoever else in. You know, that could be, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where they are in the development, but that might be the worst thing that could possibly happen to him. You know, throwing young players into a team this bad, getting this overrun, that could absolutely damage him. And I think I debate with someone on S2, they disagree, but I think Arblaster is so far ahead of the rest of him. One of it is obviously his talent, but that loan at Port Vale must have been massive for him. It must have been. Because he just looks head and shoulders above all the other young players, like Asula and even Jefferson.
Yeah, the thing with Arblaster is he was... You know, he's banging out the 90 minutes every week, wasn't he? I think he played like 2,000 minutes for them, I'm sure I saw that the other day, in basically half a season, which is pretty impressive. And then since he's come into our team, he's like, you know, 90 minutes every game as well, you know, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that level of consistency has been
And this is what I'd love Brooks to get alone, and Asula, to be honest, next season. I know people say Asula might come in and it might be... You know, the dropping level map. This is what worries me about when people talk about the dropping level. The top teams in the Championship are going to be as good as Nottingham Forest. And some of these players just look completely overwhelmed, even against them.
Yes. The other thought I had from this game, when we were 3-1 down, actually, was thank God for Arblaster and Hamer, because they did not down tools in this game. And they kept, you know, trying to get on the ball and push us forward. And I appreciate it. I have enjoyed watching those two as like a pairing. Obviously, the new fear is that one or both of them is not going to be here next season.
I'm trying not to think about this, because they are the shining light. Those two are the shining light. I don't think this was Arblaster's best game, but it was still easily, I'd say, our second best player behind Hamer. Yep. I thought Hamer were our best player. Those two, you can build a team. They'll be that good in the Championship, in my opinion, that you can build. You could probably get some solid pros around them with a couple more talented players. And they're that good, they can take you to good places.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I like the idea of Hamer just being told, like, kind of what he's done this season, where every time you get the ball, try and create something.
Yeah.
Only next season he's doing it in a team that has more than 25% possession.
And, yeah, exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Suddenly he has, like, you know, 45 touches a game instead of 25 or something like that. Yeah, that
really
is
important to keep
exciting.
for the morale of the fans, if nothing else, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen this, like, officially reported anywhere, but there seems to be a lot of chat about a release clause this week. Any idea whether is this a Nixon thing?
This is I won't take. I mean, I don't know if there is a release clause. I mean, I don't know. I really, really don't know. I mean, I don't know what we're going to. I think we're all the same. Everyone's got presumptions about what we're going to do in the summer, about how much money we're going to have or not have, and who we're going to sign. I don't think we're going to know until it gets going. I don't know. Like I say, I'm trying not to worry about this right now because I don't know how bad or how good the financial position actually is. Everyone says, oh, we've cleared the debts. Then you get other people saying, actually, you know, we spent all the parachute payments already. We need to sell. We're going to have to sell at least one player. And you'd hope that's going to be Anel or someone like that, or even Souza. But if we can't sell them, you are looking. They're the only two, really, who's probably your other assets you can get money for.
Yeah, I think so. Gibbs White's return has every touch booed, which just seems like such a terrible idea. Like, I know I talked about before Burnley, I just thought it was kind of baffling that we would boo Berger from like a moral perspective, I suppose, in like a, you know, what's he actually done wrong, really? But booing Gibbs White just seems like an objectively terrible idea. Like, I think he would be like, it'd be like him and Ronaldo of two players I would never boo because I just fear it would absolutely fire them up to ruin your day. So
this, look, I don't agree with the people. Well, they can do what they want, really. I'm really not bothered. But, you know, I didn't agree with the people who boo Berger, but, you know, it made a little bit of sense maybe in some people's minds. This makes no sense. We didn't own him. It's not as if Wacky said, right, I'm leaving now, I'm getting out of here. It's like, no, we didn't own him. We couldn't afford him because he went for like 20, 35 million or whatever it was.
Yeah. And he absolutely busted his arse when he played for us.
Yeah, so brilliant.
Fantastic. And yeah, I don't want to overlook like how I think he was probably quite important in Ajay's development as well. That, you know, going from a player that could not play 60 minutes to what he was that following season, which, you know, obviously I wish he was still here, but at least he became, you know, an asset, I suppose. Yeah, got us up, and also we were able to cash him in, and well, God knows what we used that money for. But still,
let's not.
Yeah.
let's do that again.
But yeah, I think having Gibbs White as your teammate has got to help with that. So yeah, he's a star. We did quite a good job on keeping him quiet, I thought, in this game. Unfortunately, let Hudson-Odoi's right foot beat us instead, and Ryan Yates from an absolutely pathetic set piece. But
yeah.
There you go. That's why we're going down.
It's just the same every week now, isn't it? That's how it feels. You've got it spot on. You don't. I mean, I did celebrate the goal, obviously, but it's not a come on now. We can get. It's like you know you're going to concede. It's
got like you're 3-0 down. I think that's what it is. It's like we're 3-0 down already, and it's like, oh, we got one back.
Yeah, this is what this season just finds new ways to sort of like make it horrible to be a Sheffield United fan. Is that you're now getting to the point where goals go in, and unless they're like in the 90th minute, you're like, oh, you know, that's one bite, like you said, you know what I mean? It's a great. I think Four Blades were brilliant last week where they said something like, this might not affect the club this season in terms of the playing staff or whatever, in terms of morale, but it'll definitely affect the fans' morale for years because this is going to hang over fans. It has to for years and years because just of the way that it's gone and the way that it's psychologically damaged us as a fan base, and it has. It sounds like a big thing to say, but it absolutely has for the most people I speak to.
Yeah, at the risk of you know, making anyone listening turn off, I am looking forward to a break from United this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll keep doing the podcasts, obviously.
I think it's crazy if you're not. I really can't understand how anyone's getting any enjoyment out of this, including the players and the manager.
Yeah, quite. I was thinking the other day, I'm glad it's a international tournament summer, actually, because I still like football. I just really don't like United at the moment, like anything to do with them. And so I think it'll do me good to watch a you know, be invested in another team for a few weeks, and hopefully and do well.
Yeah, and the other thing as well with that is, I mean, it's got to the point now where I don't like seeing other teams celebrate anyway. Like, I know you're very much against Ipswich going up purely because of you're jealous, basically. And I'm like, completely bitter at what they've achieved, because that were us 5 years ago. But even last night, Bolton beat Barnes. Like, get it off, turn it off. I'm not having anybody. But I'm jealous of Bolton. It's mad.
Yeah, I know. God, what?
Wish we were in their position, as a
as a chairman in their once said. Yeah. What was I going to say? No, I can't remember. But anyway, that's why we're going down. We have been relegated. Obviously, the Newcastle game was the one that clinched it. So I thought, as part of this, it might be semi-interesting to return to our roadmap / blueprint from before the start of the season, which was the how to avoid relegation blueprint, and just review if any of these actually happened. I mean, obviously, we didn't follow this particularly closely because we have got relegated. But I think also it might just show you just how far short we came in terms of some things we identified as, like, this is your best case scenario and it probably needs to go this way if we're going to stay up. And we came up well short in a lot of them.
You sent me these notes this morning and I've only really skimmed through them, and it's already like, geez, Luigi. Like...
So we had this was recorded. Yeah, we recorded this on the week before the season started, and this wasn't one of the it was part of the blueprint, but we already acknowledged that we'd flunked it basically, and that was have a proper pre-season. So obviously Soldan Jai and Berger, who were not only two of our better players but also ones that played the most during pre-season. At that point, Trusty had one behind closed doors friendly, I think. McBurney and Jebison had both got injured. I completely forgot this, but Benny Traore had like a visa and work permit issue, so he missed all but one friendly. And at that point, there was still no Brewster or Reece Norton Davis either. So we, as far as having a proper preseason, we whiffed on that one big time.
And after this, we brought in Souza, who didn't have a preseason, and Hamer, who did have a preseason at Coventry, but not with us. Was there anyone else we brought in? Luke Thomas, another one that we brought in.
McAtee as well.
McAtee did have a pre-season with City, but again, not with us. That's not too bad, because at least he played for us last season. But yeah, if the big two signings that replaced Berger and Ndiaye didn't have a pre-season with us, Aymer and Souza. And I said this from the start, very, very start, trying to build a team as you go in is hard anyway. You might get away with the Championship once you get a run of results. Doing it in the Premier League, we've shown, it's pretty much impossible. Forest did it last season and just stayed up, spending God knows how much money and chopping and changing and chopping and changing and chopping and changing, and they just stayed up. We tried to do it with no money.
It was never going to go well, was it?
No.
At least we knew it, you and I and our fans and plenty of other fans as well, of course, that this wasn't going to go well. The next one on here was get creative, which was essentially figure out how to play without Ndiaye. We're not replacing him, he's too good. And our backup plan of just give it to Illy has gone out of the window. So figure out how to be successful without your best player. And no, absolutely not. That was, I mean, and this is on Heckingbottom, obviously, and on Wilder as well. Like, we haven't found a formula at all. I mean, we threw out a couple of suggestions of, like, you know, it's easy to say these things, it's harder to actually put them into place, but, you know, keep it tight, be good from set pieces, defend one goal leads with your life, sit deep and counter attack, press like maniacs. We have nothing that we're good at, do we? Like, at any stage, have we had anything good, like, stylistically?
We weren't good at it, but I think Heckingbottom certainly tried to do the just keep it tight, sit back, and maybe take the one or two chances that you get. But it didn't matter. It didn't work, because we were getting 35, 40 shots against us every match. Yeah. So there's a reason why Wes were leading the player of the season shouts early on in the season. It's because he had so much to do. So it didn't work. Archer's the other one, by the way, I forgot about. Didn't get a pre-season with us.
That's true.
And yeah, there were nothing. I mean, you could argue now, bringing Berrett and Diaz in teaming up with McBurney, has resulted in goals. You know, that has resulted in his creating more chances and scoring more goals. But it's not been anywhere near enough. We're still only scoring like one a game on average.
Yeah, and I'd also say that's that's just bringing in a better player, isn't it? Like, and I don't think that's like a I don't think that's like a tactical thing. Like, just have better players.
No, it's not like the overlapping.
What I was looking for with this is like, how can we be better than the sum of our parts? Basically, how like we were in, you know, the 2019-20 season was obviously the absolute best case scenario of that. But how can we get more out of the talent level that we have at the club at the moment? And neither manager has even scratched the surface of that being a success. Total disaster.
And this is where you turn this is where you turn your attention to Luton, who have been poor, but they're not going to go down as a national disgrace. And you know, and I think we'd have all been happy enough going down in the way Luton have, and said like, oh, there's, you know, the thing to build on. We, you know, we didn't really give ourselves a chance pre-season, and we didn't have the talent level, but we did it. And Luton are probably doing as well as they can. Like I say, when I'm criticising Luton for not being a good Premier League team, that's not their fault. They haven't spent much money at all, like less than us. But they've got that team together, and I'd be optimistic if I were them next season.
Yes. Another one that was a big fat no was being one of the best in the league at set pieces.
I think it's one of my ideas, this.
I think it's a bang on point. You said we're not going to create much. Yes. So we need our set pieces to be good. And yeah, we've been disastrous. Like, you know, absolutely appalling defensively, which we, you know, again, is on both managers that we can't defend set pieces to save our lives.
I never saw this coming. Obviously, I thought Egan would be fit.
That's true.
Nanel were decent last season. Or a good last season, in fact. I thought Trusty would be like a no-nonsense sort of centre-half. I did not see us being this bad at set pieces. I thought this were going to be one of our main assets, and it's completely gone the other way. So not only were we a bad team, we're also bad at the things that bad teams are good at, if you know what I mean. Bad teams at least can say, well, us under Warnock in that Premier League season, we weren't a good Premier League team, but we were decent at set pieces, and we were big and we were strong and all this, and we competed. We didn't even get that.
No. Big fat no. This one wasn't too far away. We said McBurnie has to become our all-time leading Premier League goal scorer. So Brian Dean scored 15 Premier League goals for us. McBurnie came into this season with 7 and he scored 6, I think?
6. And he's one more. Oh, no, 2 more, sorry.
Yeah, which he's not going to get. Although, actually, it sounds like he possibly might be back for the last game of the season. But we can mention this here as well. This is new since we last recorded. McBurnie picked up another injury, I think, after that Burnley game, didn't he? And was ruled out for the rest of the season at that point. And you just throw your hands up and think, like, here we go again. You know, it's just this is just such a familiar experience. Now, that injury, is it an Achilles injury?
I think so. Yeah, it's another different one. Yeah,
that injury possibly makes it more likely that he will still play for Sheffield United next season. Teams might be less willing to take a risk on him. He was kind of, I don't know, he was out with the two local boxers at half time when he
in the Forest game. That was funny. Quite funny. That's like probably the best bit of the game.
Which I don't know whether that was like him waving farewell or whether he's just, I mean, he does like his boxing, doesn't he? So he just asked to be out there. So I wonder if that makes it more likely that he will stay for next season. But we will find out in the next few weeks, I suppose. He still has an outside chance to get to become our all-time leading Premier League goal scorer.
Well, we've always said it about McBurnie. Not everyone agrees, but I think me and you are on the same page. If he stays fit, it's an absolute no-brainer to make him possibly your highest paid player at the club if you can get him to play 30 to 35 games. Because he will get you 15 to 20 goals. And that's massive in the Championship. But you know, he's not, what, 3-4 seasons in a row? Probably, well, since he's come, really, let's be honest, where he's been in and out completely, like, through the seasons.
Yeah, I think he started 15 games this season.
It's not enough. Not enough.
Yeah, and, you know, there's 2 games to go, but pretty unlikely that he's going to start either of those, so less than half the games. He's done okay. He came close to that. There's a couple of penalties in there as well, I think, but 6 goals is not the worst return. One of the other things on the blueprint was hope that more than one other team has the season from hell. And what I meant by that was Leicester the season before, who were not even close to being a, you know, candidate for relegation, and yet obviously finished in the bottom three, ended up back in the Championship. Now, this one, I think, came off. I mean, this is kind of the conversation we've been having for quite a few months, right? It's like, what a missed opportunity. you know, with the points deductions for Forest and Everton, this was an amazing chance to, you know, drag another non-promoted team into the bottom three. But yeah, we just we haven't competed. But yeah, this one happened.
If I'd have told you 2 games to go, 15th place Everton, who we're playing next, we're only on 37 points and they're in 15th. I think you'd have been thinking, well, do you know what? We've got a bit of a chance here. Like, you know what I mean? Because like, if they're on 37 in 15th place, then, and it's right, the points totals are so. If I'd have said to you, fourth from bottom's got 29 points with 2 games to play, you'd be thinking, wow, this is a great chance to stay up.
Yeah. Burnley, another one that had, you know, they were. A lot of people, probably ourselves actually, thought they were going to be like mid-table, and they've been dreadful, as we talked about earlier. So, yeah, I think this one was there. This one happened. It just, we weren't good enough to capitalise at all. Another one was get a career season out of Wes Fodringham. We said he's been very good, and he's been sort of good to very good over the last 2 seasons, but we need him to be Dean Henderson 2019-20 levels in terms of goals prevented. I think Wes's season was probably, well, I don't know, it's probably being reevaluated in the last few weeks when he's come back into the team. But no, he's been at best a league average goalkeeper this season. And we really, as you touched on earlier, we needed somebody to be Lev Yashin, basically, to give us a chance this one. So
I think before that Newcastle game, and it weren't really at fault of that Newcastle game, to be honest, but I think before that, it looked like he were on course because he pulled some phenomenal saves off against Manchester City and Crystal Palace, at least. Mm. And you're thinking, this, you know, I remember him doing an interview after the Palace game, City game, saying people have doubted me all my career, and it were almost like this like story of this guy who's come from nowhere really to be a top Premier League goalkeeper. And there were all those stats as well, like the England team based on stats, and he were in the goal for everyone. But as we know, he started making loads of mistakes, and then he got dropped. And then it's been re-evaluated that actually he's not that bad. But
it's not as bad as Kvaratskhelia.
No, but he is a championship goalkeeper, which is no slight on him. You know, he's spent a lot of his career in League One and stuff. So he's, well, League One Wes. Yeah. But I think he's just shown that he's a championship goalkeeper. He's certainly not on the levels of Henderson was.
Yeah. Well, he's come back into the team since we last recorded. I think I said, I couldn't see how he got back into the team after I thought those bridges have been burned. You know, there's a lot of cryptic social media posts from Fodringham, and obviously we tried to loan him out, I think, or he wanted to get loaned out in January, etc. I just thought there's no way he comes back in. And it's, I guess it makes sense to put him back in, but it also don't make any sense at all unless he's going to still be here next season, right? Like,
I don't know.
Well, it's just more muddled thinking from the club. I mean,
you would think that every goalkeeper we've got on the books, maybe not a misser, but we're not going to be here next season. So he's probably irrelevant who we play. I can't see Grubic playing next season now.
Yeah. He's done all right, Fodringham. I mean, the Man U game, the highlights I did see, and statistically as well. I mean, obviously he ends up conceding 4 goals in that game, but I think we'd probably like lose that 8-9-2 or something if Grubic had been in goal. I mean, he made some really, really good saves, Fodringham. Mm. And then I don't think he really could have done anything. We weren't even that busy, to be honest, against Forest.
No. He's conceded 12 goals in 3 games since he's come back in. It's just, and he's probably, I think against Man United, he won man of the match. I think he even won it. I didn't see the Newcastle game, but I think he even won it against Newcastle as well on the Blazeman Twitter thing or whatever it is.
Yeah, I guess the last 3 games have kind of shown or reminded me that Fodringham was not the problem.
No.
And continues to not be the problem. The defence is the problem, or rather...
I think we did this all season as a fan base, and I've done it and you've done it. I did it, you know, get rid of Souza and we'd be a lot better. And people get rid of Wes, we'd be a lot better. And get rid of Anel or get rid of Trusty or, you know, get rid of Norwood or, you know, and it's not. It's a collection, isn't it? It's the collective that's appalling, not the odd players. We've got rid of Souza in the last couple of games. We've conceded more... just as many goals as we were when he were playing. You know, it doesn't matter. There's just too much to fix.
Indeed. Wes not a problem for me. Like, he's not the reason we concede loads of goals. Grubic does appear to be a problem from what we have seen out of him.
Like,
yes, the defence is still bad when Grubic is playing, but also he cannot save anything. And
well, if you said to me,
players.
Said to me, Wesley signed a new 1-year contract. Yeah, I'd have that. I think
I'd be all right with it.
There's so much to do in pre-season. I think we might have missed the trick, in a way, not just having this steady goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be on board with that for sure. The next one was to... And we set the bar fairly low here. Maybe not that low, actually. It seems... Well, certainly in hindsight, it doesn't seem that low. But get meaningful contributions, which we defined as 5 goals combined, out of Rian Brewster, Dan Jebison, and Will Asula. This is zero from the 3 of them combined. Brewster obviously perennially injured. Jebison at this point, we didn't realise he was going to miss a whole damn year with injury and illness. And Asula's tried, bless him, but
he's got 2 in the cup. No, 3 in the cup. 3 in the cup.
Yep, and it's just not that level yet. But that was something we needed to hit, I think. You know, get an extra 5 goals out of these bonus players, if you like, and not even close. We can use this one just to touch on Jebison quickly.
Yeah.
He obviously played for the under-21s on Monday, I think it was, which I reckon is his first appearance since the last game of last season, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Now, that suggests to me that the contract is signed, sealed, delivered. Like, he's staying. Like, why on earth would we play him?
Otherwise? I can't get my head around this.
Where is the news of his new contract? Well, what are we waiting for?
Like, we're waiting 48, 72 hours, well, they said about 6 months ago.
Either has the most elaborate signature possible that it takes, like,
five
weeks to sign. I don't know. Would you put it past United to just play him anyway and then him not sign the contract? I don't think I would at this stage.
I would definitely not put it past United. I think they were saying on Four Blades again about how you have to offer a young player a contract, because if he leaves, he goes to a tribunal and you get more money for offering a contract. Could be something like that. You know, could be like sort of, I don't know, gamesmanship's the right term to use, but you know what I mean? The same, you know, just sort of, oh, we have tried to keep him, look, we even played him. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Mixed messages, though, from the club, if that's the case. And from Jebison himself, I mean, he, you know, for whatever you want to read into social media, you know, he was finally, like, posting a picture of him in United gear and stuff for the first time in a year while he's, excuse me, back in training, and the club is sharing, you know, here he is back in training, and he's back in he's like the headline news of the under-21 team and stuff. So all signs suggest that, yeah, it's a formality if it's not signed already and we're just sat on the announcement. But this is United, isn't it? You have to, I know that's like a football fan cliche, but like, the club have given us reason to be concerned about these things in the last couple of years. So yeah, watch this space, I guess. I thought it would have been announced by now. Maybe it'll be announced by the time we finish recording this or something. But
yeah.
But that was a no. No goal contribution at all from any of those players. This one was also a big fat no, which we knew at the time, but have an unbelievable swing of luck with injuries. No, it's been a total disaster. It might even be our worst ever, not worst ever, but, you know, the worst season of injuries since injuries started becoming a problem for us, I guess.
I thought the bench actually on Saturday were the strongest it's been for a long, long time, actually. On paper, obviously, with Brewster back and Sousa on there, Norwood, at least the professional players. You know, we've had people like Peck and who else have we had on the bench this season? Like, sort of young lads, like Curtis, Brooks, obviously. If I'd said to you at the beginning of the season, again, you know, our midfield's going to have Brooks and Arblaster in it, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, I'd be massaging my temples there, thinking.
What's happened here? Yeah. I mean, you know, we did have a few options on the bench, but it wasn't a good bench or anything. And we're still without, I don't know how many it is now. Max Lowe's not there. McBurney's not there.
Egan, Basham.
Yeah, they're the long-term ones, obviously. Baldock. All still out.
This, do you know, this is almost like I'd planned this. I definitely hadn't, but there's a good tangent starters, I suppose. Segues, if you will, for regular listeners.
Segues.
Baldock, a lot of reporting that he's off to Panathinaikos at the end of his contract. Certainly seems likely that he's played his last game for us. We'll talk about it more if it happens, but very hard to begrudge him a move like that if that's what comes to pass. I think he's, you know,
yeah, absolutely deserves it.
He owes us nothing. I don't think, you know, he's always been a model pro for us, and yeah, chance to finish your career in Greece, and you know, playing in Europe, and obviously better weather, etc. as well.
Yeah.
He'll have earned that if it happens, and he'll go with my best wishes. Although I will be sad to see it because I think.
Well, we might have to do a massive pod pre-season when all these players go, because there's him, Norwood, Egan, maybe Basham. Obviously, you know, it's going to be. I mean, it does need breaking up. Wilder's completely right with that. You know, it needs to a new era needs to start, but it's not going to be not going to make it any easier. You know, it's really sad when Sharp went and Stevens, O'Connell, and Fleck. And then we're going to get another probably four massive legends, you know, genuine legends in Basham, Egan, Baldock, and Norwood.
I hope we sign fitter players this summer.
Yeah, but I mean, look, these players, to be fair to him, Egan, Basham, Baldock, and Norwood. Norwood, in fact, still does. Never picked up injuries for about 3 or 4 years. I don't know if I'm probably playing captain hindsight here. Maybe we overused him in those years. Maybe. You know, a club with more facilities and sports science and all that says, right, you really need to start resting Baldock for a couple of weeks here. But I don't know. But we were playing that well. If Wilder had done that and we'd have not gone up or not finished ninth or whatever, he'd have got hammered for it. So
yeah. No, I really do think that is the case, that these players, the ones you just listed there, they've played a ton of football in quite demanding systems, and they've played every single game. I mean, we're just... Yeah, we barely changed the team for like 3 years, did we?
Yeah,
and it's just caught up with him. Like, you know, Baldock is the prime example, I think, of he just started Baldock and Ender Stevens. Anyway, they just played like every minute. I think Baldock and Stevens literally did play every minute during that promotion season, or certainly thereabouts.
Yeah,
and eventually it takes its toll. I mean, Norwood's what, like 31, I think, but he must have played like 500 games of football at this point, like. No wonder. Sorry, he's 33, but there's no wonder he looks knackered. I mean, he retired from international football six years ago.
Yeah,
when he was trying to preserve, like, that was when his last cap was. He probably retired a bit later than that. But you know, he's trying to preserve 2019. He was 28 when he retired from international football. Yeah. So he must have known, like, I'm way ahead of my, you know, aging curve here, if you like, just in terms of the amount of football I played. And bit like Rooney was, I suppose, where he just started out so early, Rooney, and played so many games all the time.
Owen's another one, isn't he? He went early as well,
So there's that. So when I say I hope we sign fitter players, I hope there's kind of an acceptance of, like, these players are kind of at the end of their fitness cycle, if you like. You know, they've just got too much wear on them now that you can't take a risk on renewing more than a handful of them, I don't think.
No.
But at the same time, I stop signing injury-prone players. Like, McBurnie is, you know, he isn't getting injured constantly because he's played too much football.
No, he's just not
injury-prone. Like, it's just who he is. It's like his body, his conditioning, his fitness. Who's the other one? Tom Davies. Like, who would have possibly foreseen that this would happen with Tom Davies?
Brewster. I mean, he got a couple of really bad injuries before we signed him.
Yep.
And we've got to be much more careful about that. We need to be looking at people who've played 30 to 40 games, because that's massive for us. I think you can have the likes of McBurnie around then, you know, if you've got people you know are going to be fit. And like I say, in fairness to Norwood, he is always available, but he's looking very tired, isn't he, as a player?
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is something I think is, oh, like, you can give this a tick, I guess, a little bit with some of our recruitment. Like, Souza, you know, has been available the whole season, I'd say. It's just been rubbish, and that's why he's not in the team. Hamer, as well, has played virtually every game. Who's the other one? I was just about
Truster, not being injured.
Yeah, and we messed that up, I think, by getting him in so late that he basically missed the preseason and went. I don't think he started a game till October, or maybe he didn't even come on as a sub till October. Let's steer clear from Crocs would be my recommendation for future. And as I say, I'm not asking the club to sort of gaze into the crystal ball there. Like, all the evidence was there that someone like Tom Davies was going to be injury prone. Just steer clear. Like, let's not go down that next season. This is one you suggested. Heads not going when we lose four or five in a row like last time. And we were both very confident that we'd be able to not end up in this way. And I think,
it's worse than I thought.
That Newcastle game smashed us, I think, didn't it?
it's not just that the Eds go and lose four or five in a row. They go if we go behind.
Yeah. And then we concede four or five in a row.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it's a bit of a meme now, isn't it? People saying this would never have happened under Wilder, you know, when we get hammered. but it didn't. And the reason people said that before Wilder came in is because we didn't get hammered under Wilder ever. Mm. I think the biggest defeat, what, 3-0, I want to say, under Wilder, ever. Like, since we... I can't think of any others anyway, maybe. We never got hammered under Wilder, and that was the thing. And this team, this set of players, this, like, the mentality, and the big thing about this is probably because Egan Basham and Baldock and those sort of players have not been playing since they've been injured. Mm. They've got nothing about them as a collective in terms of, you know, any sort of, they just fold, like, yeah. Fold like a pack of jokers.
Pack of jokers they are. Yeah, I think having, you know, if we had been luckier with injuries, then maybe this one is less problematic. I mean, not only in terms of having better players available, but yeah, the actual on-field leaders, having them on the field might have stopped this being quite such a disaster, but no, wasn't to be. I thought this was a wild suggestion from you, but two midfielders getting 10 goals between them. I mean, Hamer has got six, I think. Has he got that many?
Yeah, I think he's got six, hasn't he, Hamer? Has he got six? Five or six, anyway, yeah.
Yeah,
if I'd have known... It would have been a ridiculous shout. I think if we'd have been as good as a Luton, I think he probably would have got 10.
Yeah, possible. The trouble is, no one else has kind of come close, have they? And a couple of... Hamer got one in the FA Cup as well. I think he's got four goals, so... Yeah, three in the league. It's not quite 10.
It seems more.
Yeah, has any of our other midfielders scored a goal? Sousa's got one at Luton. Can you think of any other goals from midfield?
Norwood, Penn against Wolves.
No, I'm not counting that.
Yeah. can't think of any, actually, no. There must be another. There has to be.
I don't know if there is, you know.
I don't know.
Slimani hasn't scored. Osborne, he's got one, hasn't he? No, he hasn't.
No, got disallowed one of his goals.
McAtee, okay. I suppose. McAtee's got...
Yeah,
McAtee, five.
That's not a bad shout. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so McAtee and Hamer... maybe Hamer does have five, actually. Oh, no, this is including FA Cup. Mm. So McAtee and Hamer in all competitions have got 10 goals between them. So it was kind of closer than I thought. I was really hoping we'd get something out of Tom Davies or midfielders who we hadn't signed at the point of recording, which didn't really come to pass. Yeah. And then the last one was, we said we needed a John Lundstrom style season, the first season, from someone who's never shown much before. And I don't think we even got close, did we? Like,
the closest is Jack Robinson, but we're not a Lundstrom sort of, oh my God, where's this guy come from? But we sort of knew. I think Robinson's going to win player of the season. It's quite funny that I think you mentioned it as well, that we've conceded 100 goals and he's going to win player of the season as a defender. Yeah. But I think he's probably the only player who's played for the majority of the season at his level. His level's not good enough for the Premier League, but he's the only one who we can say, yeah, I'm not expecting much more from you there, to be completely honest. You've done everything that I expected you to do. Yeah. But there's been no sort of breakout star, has there, at all?
No, we were excluding youngsters from this. So, like, I think we mentioned, like, Arblaster as, like, maybe he could break into the team at one point. But we were talking about somebody going from being...
zero to hero. Yeah,
mediocre to being like, wow, this guy's one of our, you know, top players.
Yeah.
So we suggested, like, possible candidates. You know, we were kind of just throwing... We weren't saying these would be this.
Yeah.
Osborne, Max Lowe, Asula, Jebison, Brewster. And yeah, nobody's even come close, really.
Someone who came out of nowhere, yeah.
Osborne's done okay. But it's not a Lundstrom season, as he's just been a steady fill-in while everyone else is injured. So, yeah, that's why we're going down. We had almost no part of our blueprint came off, apart from the things that were outside of our control, being someone else having a dreadful season. And we weren't in a position to capitalise, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's it, mate. We are down, and we've still got two games to go somehow. Everton... And then Spurs. I mean, it's such a sorry state of affairs when you're like sincerely walking out of the Forest game going, well, only one more to go, I suppose. One more home game, that is.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, do you know what? On Monday, whatever it was, I thought, I can't even be bothered with that last game against Tottenham. We're going to get hammered again. But then you've got to go, aren't you? It's the last game, innit? It's like, you know, may as well. I mean, I talked to Deadbat after, actually, from Tufted Club, and he was saying, And this is the worst thing about it, I think, at the moment, actually, at the games. You were hoping, like, for more anger and more toxicity, like, for this game. And I know what it means, because it shows you care. And you show. I'm hoping next season, if things don't go right, it's absolutely toxic on the stands, because that is much better than what we've got at the moment, which is apathy, which is just people going, well, another absolute hammering against a pretty rubbish team, you know. That is the worst place to be in. I'd rather be... Even in the Atkins season, as we saw with that guy we keep mentioning at the end, you're an embarrassment. I don't think we'll get anything like that, because people have just resigned to themselves to the fact that this set of players and whatever are just awful, like for the standard that they're at. I want to see some anger next season if things aren't going right, because it at least I want to see some people getting what they deserve, you know, some criticism. Yeah. Now, that might sound really counterproductive, but I think that's much better than what we've got at the moment.
Yeah, I can see that. I did renew my season ticket just before the deadline. But I don't know. It was somebody said this the other day, it's like paying a bill or something. Like, you know, paying to like have your washing machine fixed or something. Like, it just doesn't feel like... It feels like something I have to do rather than, obviously I don't have to do it. And I'm in a, you know, I acknowledge I'm in a privileged position where I can, you know, spend £400 on something that I don't really want. But I just feel like I'm in a, I don't know, this is probably really inappropriate. So apologies if this is offensive, but I just feel like I'm in a bit of an abusive relationship with United at the moment, where I don't agree with anything that they're doing. And yet I'm still, you know, spending ridiculous amounts of time thinking about them and trying to like talk myself into it being a good thing, like the decision making and, you know, keeping Chris Wilder as manager, that being a logical thing to do, and trying to talk myself into it being, you know, it'll be good next season. And yeah, I just deep down, I just know that it's not, and I'm an idiot, and what am I doing with myself? But I don't know. It's just football fandom, isn't it? You got to.
Yeah, I mean, this,
you're either in or not.
I'm absolutely well aware that when the season kicks, we'll be doing a pod before next season, and we might be down on his chances, but we'll be looking forward to it. Because we're in a division that, you know, historically we've done well in most of my lifetime, and it will be easier. But this summer, I'm absolutely so intrigued. I won't even say excited, almost nervous, worried about how it's going to end up. Because I think Alex Ferguson said that, I think it were on Four Blades again, actually, where they said, like, you get 50% of your signings right, you've done well. Yeah. We're going to have to get Wilder to get, like, about 70% of his signings right. So it's a massive, massive ask.
With no money.
Like, with no money.
We're relying on, he was good when he didn't have a budget before, so let's hope
that's
he
can, it.
Magic it. Something up again. But I don't know. I'm really, really pessimistic about it, to be quite honest. I don't have much faith that... I don't have much faith that things are going to go particularly well in the next few months. The
club's get behind them.
You got to, haven't you? You got no choice. But we'll see. This is what I mean when I say I just need a break from United. But I think what I ideally want them to do is to make like 10 signings on June the 1st, and then just I don't have to think about United like for the next 3 months or whatever it is until the season starts. I think I just don't want it to drag. Like, obviously, I want us to be super, super active because we need to be, because we're not going to be players left. But I don't want it to be getting like into the end of July and we're sat here going like, we haven't got a striker. Like, oh, you know, we've got one central defender on the book books. We've got one goalkeeper, because it's just going to stress me out. So if you could just sign the core of a really good Championship team by like June the 10th or something, and then I don't have to pay attention to you while the Euros are going on, and I can start to think about you again when preseason friendlies start, then that would be perfect. I'm all the way back in. That's all I need. Anyway, well, there we go, mate.
I'm not that cheerful now.
Well, mate, I enjoyed that catch up. You know, obviously, we're talking about our third, fourth, and fifth consecutive defeats, and to Forest of all teams, which pretty much, you know, means that they're going to stay up, because Luton have kind of pooped the bed since they played us, haven't they? Well, since they lost to us, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that surprised, to be totally honest. I think that's it, isn't it, now? Like, that the three teams who went up are going to be three teams who come down, and I think the gap is getting bigger, but I think we are seeing a fairly special case this season where one team didn't compete at all, didn't even try to compete, which is us. And then we've got Burnley, who their style were always going to, you know, it were going to go one way or the other. They've really struggled. And then Luton, who, you know, spent less money than the rest of us. So I do think the three promoted teams next season will give it a much better go than us three.
Yeah, absolutely. 100 goals, man. Just looking at the Premier League table. Absolutely unbelievable. I would, this is obviously very unlikely now, but it would be amazing if we could just get up to 39 goals scored, like, just because that's what we, I think that's what we scored in the 2019-20 season. Let me just double check that. Yeah, 39 scored. That obviously requires us scoring four goals in our last two games, but you never know. You get some wonky end-of-season games, don't you? And we absolutely should have scored more than one goal against Burnley and Forest. We should have been 2 or 3 nil up after about 20 minutes in those two games. So you never know. We might see some goals scored. Anyway, mate, I'm just checking now. It doesn't appear that Daniel Jebison has signed a new contract just yet. So we'll keep waiting on that one.
It's 48 to 72 hours, remember?
Anything to promote before we finish?
Yeah, I've got the view from Forest. That were a laugh. But yeah, they're, you know, just saying they were rubbish, but we are absolutely atrocious, which is probably spot on. Yeah. And yeah, the votes are open for the Maidley World Cup now. We tried to do it a bit quicker, but obviously we're away, and we're way before that. So yeah, the quarterfinals are now open to vote on if you want to go in the Living We Made One Twitter account and cash your vote to see who gets through to the semis.
I've already voted without listening to the episode yet.
Ooh.
Is that controversial? Is that not allowed? I mean,
I'd rather if you don't want to listen, that's absolutely fine. But do vote because it makes it more legitimate. Yeah. You know, to see what's actually going through. So if you can't bother to listen to the pod, just go into Living With Made One account and just vote for your favourite four out of the four quarterfinalists.
I've listened to all the episodes up to this round. I just haven't got round to it yet. I've been
whatever, mate. Yeah.
So I just thought when I saw it pop up, I was like, right, I'm casting my votes now. I know who I want to win out of Alan Partridge and Gavin and Stacey. Like,
yeah. I'm gonna ask you who you voted for, if you dare. Is it gonna be like one of those, like, sort of, I don't know.
Alan Partridge, The Office. I actually voted Peep Show over
Thick of It
because I think. So my logic is that I think there's a greater number of good episodes and series in Peep Show. What was the other
Phoenix Knights Father Ted, the big one.
That's tough, that one. I had to go Phoenix Knights. I just think I think Father Ted's probably better, but I think Phoenix Knights has just like resonated with me more over a longer period of time. So yeah, that's what I went for. Tough call, that one, though. Could have gone either way. Anyway, that's Living With Maidley. I don't really have anything to promote this week. I've got a new Women of Steel percolating, I suppose, but I don't know if I'll be able to get it live this week, but we're going to do some going to do end-of-season player ratings, I think, so that will be in people's inboxes at some point in the next week or so. So that is womenofsteel.substack.com if you do not already subscribe to that. Right, mate, well, I enjoyed catching up. It's been a couple of weeks, obviously, and more defeats for United. Two games to go, and then we will be able to park this season forever. So
we get to do his player rating soon. That'll be a laugh anyway, won't it?
Yeah, that'll be all right. That'll be quite cathartic, I think. That's going to be... The BBC asked me to give nominate four players for United's player of the season, and it was incredibly hard. Like,
you should have done the old cliche, give it to fans.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not even... There'd be no one in the ground to accept it, I don't think.
I read today that we are going to average over 30,000 this season, which is not a surprise we're in the Premier League, but I don't think we have actually averaged.
Slightly surprising.
But I think a lot of people aren't turning up. I think we're counting season tickets, but it is an incredible effort considering. I think unless you've been in this position, and probably only Darby who can sort of resonate with this, you don't know. You weren't there, man. But you don't know how hard it is. So,
it certainly has been an incredible effort to drag ourselves to this game.
Enjoy it because you know you deserve that. You deserve a win there more than anyone. All these people are going away still.
Yeah, go on, get a point at Everton, Blaze. Come on, they've got no to play for now anyway. Like, yeah, for the people that
Dash and Wilder are good friends, so maybe they can have some sort of deal behind closed doors.
Yeah, like what was that game? It was like Austria and Germany, was it? They like just passed it around for 90 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Nine British players Everton played on Saturday, Sunday, whenever they played. Yeah,
nice.
interesting.
It's like the Brexit ball derby, isn't
Yeah,
it?
exactly.
Right, mate. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And thanks to everyone for listening. But I'm sure I will speak to you soon about United's latest disaster.
Look forward to it, mate. Thanks a lot.
Nice one. Thank you.